Welcome to Super Tathis for Parshas Ki Savo. This week we are dedicated for Refuah Shleima for Rezal Devorah Bas Shena Malka, as well as Moshe ben Rachel Mina, Eliana Malka, Bas Basi Rachel, and for Yosef David ben Rachel Bela. All right, so we've got some very funny stories this week, but this is one I sent at least one of you last week, and I love the story. I first heard it from my brother-in-law, and I didn't hear the retort, so you have to understand the way that Talmidei Chachamim joke with each other. So Rav Shimon Shkap had the Mechaber of Shari Yosher had a chiddush that Kiddushin is not just a one-time kinyan, but that happens at the time of Nisuin, but rather it happens all of the married life of a husband and wife. At every moment, there's a new chalos of Kiddushin. So when he said this to Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Brisker in a very sharp way said back to him, Mazel Tov, because he said, look, if you're having a new Kiddushin every minute, you get a new Mazel Tov every minute. And to this, Rabbi Shimon Shkup responded without really missing a beat. He said, no, you don't need to say Mazel Tov. Your Mazel Tov also renews. The first one also renews every minute. So I thought that was very cute. The second story is a story about the Gra. Apparently there was a epidemic that brought out a lot of people wanting to emigrate from somewhere to Vilna. So in Vilna, the city council said, you know what we need to do? We can't go too far here. We can't take in all of these people. It's going to create an immigration crisis. We have to make enactments. They didn't say anything about making a wall, but they decided to make enactments. And the response from the Gro was, this is not a new enactment. These laws were already enacted in stone. So it's just kind of an idea that we're supposed to try. This is not a political statement, but as we try to be Balei Chesed, and that our rebuttable presumption be trying to give to other people as opposed to say, I don't want anything from you and you don't want anything from me. The third story is a story I could not confirm, but I heard told about the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe who was visiting his doctor. And from a sociological point, we all need to remember that smoking was very, very popular amongst the learners. In fact, it was understood by some medically at a point in time that it would affect your mental sharpness and acumen. So people actually did it in a certain way to assist their learning. So it was really, it's a really kind of interesting slice in time, because there was a point in time where smoking was viewed as good and healthy and great. And then all of a sudden there was a turn in the medical understandings and many of the halachic understandings as well. So when the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe was visiting his doctor, his doctor noticed that he smoked and started saying to him, hey, there's this information out there now that it seems like smoking isn't so good, and maybe if you'd like to live a longer life, you'd like to, do this, whatever. And, he goes through the meeting and, he kind of registers it. And towards the end of the meeting, the doctor breaks out a cigarette and he offers one to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, I'm sorry, I don't smoke. He said, what do you mean you don't smoke? We were just talking about it. He said, my doctor told me it's not healthy anymore. I stopped. So that sort of discipline is really extraordinary. And it's something that we need to call out. Everybody kind of, there's two kinds of people in Elul. There are people in Elul who shoot for the moon and fail. And then there are people who are so extraordinarily cautious on the other side that they don't want to do a Tfisa Merubah, that they don't really aspire to anything. And this story really speaks to the second group, is that we can change. We can change. People can actually make a difference in their lives and change. Next story, I actually have two more stories. I apologize. I'm going story heavy and thinking question light this week, is a story about Rav Nosson Adler, the famous Rebbe of Chassam Sofer. And apparently there was a Motzei Shabbos. He had to go on important business to go to another city. And he left Frankfurt and he went to another city, and there was a terrible snowstorm. And along with him went his budding Talmud, Chassam Sofer. So the way the story goes is this was obviously before the time of automobiles, and they were going in a carriage, and the snowstorm was so bad that the horses were like sinking into the snow, and they needed they needed cavalry to help them out to get through the snow and to get where they were going. So the Balagola goes to one of the local cities and tries to find something to assist with pulling the carriage. And he comes back with some oxes, and he attaches them to the carriage. And all of a sudden, as soon as Rivnusson Adler gets wind of what was happening, he jumps out of the carriage as soon as possible. His shoes fall off. He leaves them in the carriage, and he starts dancing in the snow. And why is he dancing in the snow? Not because he's crazy, but when he was asked, he said, My whole life, I never thought I would have the opportunity to worry about Lo Tacharosh Bashor V'chamor Yachtav. And here I am. I finally got to be able to be mekayim that mitzvah. Last story is a story about the Ibn Ezra. So there were two people traveling, and they sat down on the road to eat. One of them had three loaves of bread, and the other one had two loaves of bread. So all of a sudden, a third guy comes by, and he says, "Hey, do you mind if I eat with them? I'll pay for my meal." So they sat down together, and all five loaves were eaten, and the third man paid the other two 5 gold coins. But they had a machlekes about how the money would be divided. The guy with the three loaves said he should get 3 coins, and the guy with the two and the other guy should get 2. But the guy with the two loaves said, "Hey, listen, they ate from both of them. We don't know from whom he ate more, so they should just split it 50-50. So they brought to the Dayan, and he ruled them. The man with 3 loaves gets 4 coins, and the man with 2 loaves gets just 1. So when they heard the ruling, everybody was upset. This is nonsensical. This doesn't work. It got all the way up to the Ibn Ezra. So when he heard this case, he made a fascinating observation. He said, "Look, people have a hard time understanding the ruling of a human man, which is just Basar V'dam, and they think they're capable of understanding the ways of Hashem." And he says, "It's very simple. Each loaf can be divided into 3 parts. So 5 loaves makes a total of 15 parts, which means most probably each person consumed 5 parts, right? So the man with the 2 loaves had a total of 6 parts, which means he ate 5 of his own, and he shared just 1 of them with the other man. The man with the 3 loaves had 9 parts, and he ate 5 of his own, and he shared 4 with the other man. That's how, why he got 4 and the other person got 1. So the Ibn Ezra explained that. He said, "This is something that you could have understood. You couldn't understand it, but you felt like you could. Here, the way of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is so deep. Don't get so hubristic to get to such a point." Okay, moving on to Divrei Torah, a short one from the Altar of Kelm. We have the mitzvah this week of V'halach T'Bidrachav, which means that we walk in Hashem's ways. And very creatively, the Altar of Kelm says an interesting idea. One of the characteristics of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that Hashem is independent from other people. He doesn't need humans to do anything for him to be able to give the output that he does. He just does what he does. So in a certain way, that should be the same with us. We shouldn't look for quid pro quo from other people. I mean, everybody's trying, you know, we live in a world of constant negotiation and everything, but we should just do what we're supposed to do and do it. Next, Arami Oved Avi. One of the ways to darshan this is that it's talking about Lavan Oved Avi was trying to kill Yaakov, and Rashi notes that this is thought crime. He says, for a goy, we have this concept of thought crime, is that when they think to do something bad, it's considered as if they did it. And machshava ra mitzarf lemaisa for a Gentile, but the halacha is also that for a Jew that's not the case. That a Jew machshava tova mitzarf lemaisa, we would say that their good thoughts would be considered a maisa, but not machshava ra. So why is that? And I believe we may have mentioned this before, but there is a beautiful mesha chochma. There's a couple different shitas on it, but the mesha chochma is the one that I want to share today. Is that Rav Meir Simcha says a really interesting change happened at Akedas Yitzchak. At Akedas Yitzchak, Avram Avinu was Moser Nefesh to such a degree that it was ingrained in the neshamos of all of Klal Yisrael afterward that they would be able to be Moser Nefesh for a Kadosh Baruch Hu and for Ratzon Hashem, which means that it is understood and assumed ever since Akedas Yitzchak that a Jew wants to do Ratzon Hashem. This is not terribly dissimilar from the Rambam, about the concept of get me'usa, that you can force somebody to give a get. Why? Because their yetzer hara is keeping them from doing it, but fundamentally they want to give a get. So therefore, it's not understood as a get under duress, because deep down, this person really wants to do what they're supposed to do. And that's really a beautiful thing. As we get deeper and deeper into Elul, we need to, we always kind of think about, like, who am I? What am I about? And it's important to remember that we're all good. Like, deep down, we're all good, and we all want to do Ratzon Hashem, and that is part of our spiritual DNA all the way back to Akedas Yitzchak. Yoshiyahu. I just want to talk about, we have the Baruch Asher Yakim as Divrei Aterizos, and Orosh Yerlo Yakim as Divrei Aterizos. So Ramban sees this, tells the story about Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who is living in a time of extraordinary ignorance and non-observance amongst Klal Yisrael. And at that time, all the Sifrei Torah were hidden. They weren't around. It wasn't available. Nobody really cared about them anyway. It's in the Lashon of the Rambam, it was Munacha Bekeren Zavis, but nobody wanted it. The way that things happened was that Yoshiyahu discovered a Sefer Torah. He gave it to his scribe, and the scribe read from it. And what pasuk did they read? Baruch Asher Yakim as Aterazos, or Oru Asher Lo Yakim as Divrei Aterazos. And Yoshiyahu HaMelech said two words that changed all of Jewish history. He said the two words of Alai LaHakim, I need to do this. And once he made that decision, I need to do this, all of a sudden, he changed his life, his kingdom changed his life, Klal Yisrael changed their lives, and they changed their direction in a way that put Yoshiyahu HaMelech down in history as one of the greatest kings that Klal Yisrael ever had. And once again, it's a story that's instructive. It shows it doesn't even need to tell it, that little decision, you think it's little, all of a sudden turns a lot in life. Last thing. I saw quoted in Sefer Nesivos Das, in the name of Rav Aaron Cutler, the following chiddush, is that we see there is a preference for Yerushalayim. It says, "Im lo tishmor la'aso," says Kol Divrei Aterazos, "Liras Hashem anichbad v'enora." So Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Usher, the one who was in the base medrash of the Ramban, says, because the kavana of all of the mitzvos in the Torah is to get us to Yerushalayim. And there's obviously a lot of that, right? Yiras Hashem hi otzaro. There's a lot of things, right, we need to know about Yerushalayim. However, there are other instances we say that before a person learns Torah, they need to have Yerushalayim. So if that's true, then the Chochmah itself can't come before Yerushalayim. It needs to come after Yerushalayim, otherwise it's no good. This is the concept that the Gra mentions about the Beis HaKisei. We need to have Yerushalayim before we start learning. So, Rav Aaron Cutler says, we must say that it's the Tzvei Dinim, as quoted, must be a Tzvei Dinim. And what's the Tzvei Dinim? One is Yiras HaChet. Yiras HaOnesh is being afraid of punishment. The low-level Yira is the one that we need to have before we start learning, otherwise the thing doesn't get off the ground. But the elevated Yiras HaRumim is the fear of disappointment, disappointing a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is not that I'm afraid of a slap on the wrist, but I'm afraid I should never come up short for the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's, as stated by Rabbeinu Yonah in Mishlei and other places, that's the one that comes after Chochmah only. And indeed, the Gra in Mishlei says that himself. Im ein Chochmah ein Yira, that Mishnah in Avos. If there's no wisdom, there's no Yira. Im ein Yira ein Chochmah. Well, hold on. Which comes first? Says Yiras HaOnish comes before Chochmah, but Chochmah comes before Yiras HaRomamus. We are at 15 minutes, so I'm going to stop here. Everybody can probably find their own thinking question this week.